All right, welcome back to the deep dive. Today we're going to be doing another deep dive, you know
Yeah.
how we do it here, into a really interesting case
Yep.
out of the Missouri Supreme Court.
Absolutely.
It's State v. O'Brien.
Yeah.
And this case really unpacks, I think, some really interesting elements about
Right.
accessory liability, especially when we get into some of the heavier crimes like first degree murder.
For sure.
So essentially, we're going to be kind of looking at this idea of, we've got a robbery, it ends up in tragedy, and the question becomes, okay, so how do we measure that? Like, did O'Brien in this case actually deliberate this murder,
Right.
or was he really only involved in the robbery itself?
Exactly.
And for all of you listening out there, especially if you're law students or thinking about going to law school,
Yes.
I mean, this is a really crucial distinction because just because you're involved in a felony, that doesn't automatically make you
Right.
responsible for everything that happens as a result of that felony.
For sure.
So let's set the scene here
Yeah.
and paint a picture for everybody. So picture this. You're in a tavern. You've got O'Brien and you've got this other guy, Daniel Blount. And then there's also the victim in this story, Sanford Woods. And Sanford Woods happens to be kind of flashing around some cash. So Blount notices this and basically says to O'Brien, "Hey, why don't you lure this guy outside so I can rob him?"
Gotcha.
And so O'Brien agrees. He does exactly that. He gets Sanford Woods to go out into this alleyway.
Okay, and then what happens in that alleyway is Blount attacks Woods,
Right.
and the attack is so severe that Woods actually dies from blunt force trauma.
Right, so it escalates very quickly. It's
Absolutely.
a really tragic situation. Now, initially, O'Brien gets convicted of both burglary and first-degree murder,
Yeah.
but he appeals that murder conviction,
Right.
right? And he basically says, "Look, there's not enough evidence to show that I actually deliberated this murder. Like, yes, I was involved in the robbery, but there's nothing to say that I knew that Blount was going to kill this guy,
Right.
let alone plan it with him." And so this is where things get really interesting.
Yeah,
In the
absolutely.
legal standpoint, because
Yeah.
now we have to look at the legal framework in Missouri
Right.
and really try to understand how the court kind of parses all this out.
Yeah, so to secure a first-degree murder conviction, prosecutors in Missouri, they have to prove two big things.
Yeah.
First of all, that the defendant knowingly caused the death of another person.
Okay.
And the second thing, this is really important, is that they did it with deliberation.
Okay, and deliberation's a big word
Yeah.
in legal circles. What exactly do we mean by deliberation?
So when we say deliberation, we're talking about a cool and calculated plan.
Right.
This is not something that's like, heat of the moment, crime of passion.
Right.
This is something that's thought out
Yeah.
and that there's that period of reflection where they're deciding to commit the murder.
And so, I mean, I think that's really interesting too for those of you who are listening that, when we bring in accomplice liability,
Right.
which is the idea that, hey, maybe you didn't directly commit this crime, but you were involved in
Yes.
the events leading up to it.
Yeah.
I mean, the standard of proof is even higher for the state, right?
Excellent.
They have to prove not only that you intended to help this other person, but that you yourself actually deliberated the murder as
Right.
well.
You got to intend the death of the victim. Just
Yeah.
being involved in the robbery, that's not going to be enough.
Right. And that's that key distinction, right? It's not like a blanket, well, he helped with the robbery, so now he's guilty of every
Yeah.
single thing that happened as a result. The court really emphasizes this idea of deliberation as a separate element
Yeah.
that cannot just be inferred from,
Right.
participation in the original felony.
You can't just assume it.
Exactly. So walk us through a little bit about how the Missouri Supreme Court looked at the evidence in this case.
Sure. Yeah. So the majority opinion really came to this key finding that the state's evidence, it really only proved that O'Brien intended to help Blount rob Woods.
Cow.
There wasn't enough evidence to prove that he also wanted Woods to be killed
Okay.
or that he had planned for that outcome.
Now, I know that the prosecution brought up the fact that O'Brien returned to the scene after the attack, and it seemed like they were trying to use that as evidence of something, to say, like, hey, he's more involved than he's letting on.
Right.
But the court didn't buy that, right?
No, the court didn't agree with that at all. They
Huh.
said, yeah, maybe he went back to try and cover up the robbery.
Right.
Maybe he was feeling, guilty or whatever.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean he planned out the murder in advance.
Right.
And I think this really gets back to what we were talking about before, that for first degree murder, the timing of your intent you know, when you decided to do it is super important.
And there's some really interesting quotes, I think, from Justice Robertson in the majority opinion that really kind of highlight this.
Absolutely.
He says, proof that the defendant merely aided another with the purpose of facilitating an intentional killing cannot be sufficient to prove first-degree murder.
Right, right.
And, I mean, to me, that just really underlines how important it is to show that that specific intent to kill was present, and the state can't just be like, well...
You can't just connect the dots.
Right, exactly.
I need the evidence.
And then he's got this other one. Inferences from the manner of killing can't prove an accessory's premeditation.
Yeah, that's huge.
So even if the way that Blount actually killed Woods was really, really brutal, even if that happened, that still doesn't mean that O'Brien, in his own mind, had thought about this ahead of time.
It doesn't transfer automatically.
Right, exactly. So at the end of the day, what happened?
Okay, so the Missouri Supreme Court, they reverse O'Brien's first-degree murder conviction.
Right.
There just was not enough evidence there.
Right.
But they did uphold his burglary conviction.
And can you walk us through that a little bit? Because, I mean, that's interesting that one stays, one goes.
Well, so remember, burglary in this situation is all about the intent to commit a felony.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So they're saying, okay, yeah, he went into that tavern, lured the guy out so that he could be robbed.
Right.
That's enough for burglary. We've got the intent.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Now, I also remember that the court mentioned a possible retrial on a lesser charge.
Yes. Yes, they remanded the case to the lower court.
Okay.
And said, okay, you can retry him for second-degree felony murder.
And can you explain the difference between first-degree and second-degree?
Sure. So second-degree felony murder is a little bit different because it doesn't require that deliberation element that we've been talking about.
Yes.
It basically applies when a death happens during a felony.
So because Woods died during the robbery,
there's
a chance, a possibility, that a jury could find O'Brien.
Could find him guilty.
Guilty of that lesser charge.
Exactly.
Right. And so because of this case,
yeah.
I mean, the Missouri Supreme Court really laid out a very clear three-part test.
Oh, yeah. It's a classic three-part test.
That has to be met.
You know, you see this all the time.
To prove accomplice liability in a first-degree murder case.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. So first, you got to prove that the accomplice actually helped the killer.
Okay.
You know, they did something to help them.
Okay.
Second, you got to prove that they consciously intended for the victim to die.
Right.
And third, you got to prove that they acted after deliberation.
So basically, in this case, the court said, okay, maybe he meets that first part.
Right.
But the state didn't prove the other two.
They didn't have enough to prove those other two.
So at the end of the day, what are the big, you know, the big ideas that we should take away from State v. O'Brien?
Well, the main takeaway here is that intent is everything when it comes to criminal law.
Right.
Just because you help someone commit a felony doesn't automatically mean you're guilty of every other bad thing that happens as a result.
Especially
with something as serious as murder.
Yeah.
The prosecution has to prove that you had the intent, the specific intent, for each crime.
And this case also really shows how important it is to have those appellate courts.
Oh, yeah, they're crucial.
Like the Missouri Supreme Court,
yeah.
Because they're there to make sure that people are only convicted if there's enough evidence.
That's right.
They're there to make sure that it's not just speculation or guilt by association. It's about making sure that the prosecution does their job and proves guilt.
Yeah.
Beyond a reasonable doubt.
They make sure things are fair.
Exactly. Yeah. They're a really important safeguard in our system. And for those of you who are studying law, you know, this case is really, really useful because it shows the difference between these two big legal concepts.
Yeah.
You've got purpose, which is the intent to do the felony, like the robbery in this case.
Right.
And you've got deliberation, which is that cold, calculated planning.
Yes.
That's necessary for a first degree murder conviction.
And those are two different things,
right.
Legally speaking.
Right. You can't just use them interchangeably. The prosecution has to prove both.
Absolutely.
If they want to win that murder case.
For sure.
So really, the heart of State v. O'Brien is this idea that in order to prove deliberation in a first-degree murder case, especially if the defendant is an accomplice, you got to show that specific intent to kill.
And that's the key.
It can't just come from the fact that they were involved in some other crime.
It has to be separate.
Yeah, exactly. So there's a lot to think about here, especially for all of you future lawyers.
Yeah.
I think it really prompts us to consider, you know, what are the broader implications of this?
Right.
How might prosecutors change their strategies going forward? And I think it also makes us think about, you know, what exactly does intent mean when there's more than one person involved in a criminal act.
How much intent is enough intent is the question.
Yeah, exactly. How do you measure that?
Huge questions.
Huge questions. Lots of stuff to think about. Thanks for diving in with us today.
Absolutely.
Really appreciate you all being here. We'll catch you next time.
See you then.
For another deep dive.